Do it all together or it's down to a big nothing.
Sure.
We trust everyone?
I don't, but I don't know who we can rely on and who we can't. We have to tell everyone. There's no other way.
Guess not.
The longer Ryan waited to mention his threadbare plan to the rest of the prisoners, the less chance there was of their being betrayed. His original intention had been to speak to Helga about it first, but the craggy, freckled woman was still distraught after witnessing the horrific butchering of Red Folsom. As it happened, Ryan's scheme was altered during the middle of the afternoon. One of the Stickies who'd been out on a hunting patrol came running down the path and across the bridge. He was sweating hard, his shirt soaked and darkened under the arms and across his belly. The creature's stringy hair was flattened against his angular skull, and the eyes goggled even more than usual. Charlie was close by the prisoners when his subordinate appeared.
Norms coming. Sergeant Norms. Men and women. We seen them.
Ryan glanced at Christy, his heart sinking. Charlie smiled broadly, aiming his good cheer at the captives.
Company! We must get ready to give these visitors a hearty welcome.
JB called a halt.
Not a breath of wind.
The river's flow had been audibly slackening during the period afternoon. The heavy rain that had fallen on the higher peaks above them had now mostly found its way down to lower levels. In another 24 hours or so, if the fine weather held, the river would have shrunk back to being a stream again.
Think we're on the right trail, John?
Who knows? Corpse had been chilled by Stickies. Stickies got Ryan and Christy. River comes from this way. Been no other side water courses coming in on either side.
Christina was suffering most of all on the arduous trek. The rain had turned what would normally have been a difficult climb into one that constantly verged on the impossible. Again and again they had to negotiate fallen trees, their roots washed away in the downpour. These had sometimes formed themselves into a malign tangle 20 feet high or more, and completely blocked their access to higher ground. Each one took up to an hour to negotiate. With her heavy surgical boot, Christina normally found that even a long hike on a broad flat trail tired her out. Jack repeatedly urged her to go back to their base camp and wait for them.
I'm not pretending I like this, but I'll go where you go, and that's that.
I own it.
I will not give up all my hopes for our future and see them turned to ashes, Jack Lauren. I tell you, I will not.
If I may say so, Christina, I find you the most admirable and courageous woman that I have ever had the honor of meeting. Were I wearing a hat, I would most certainly doff it to you.
I'd second that. We all got us a tough row to hoe. We stick together and we reach the end safe and unharmed.
Hope you're right, Mildred. And thanks for the kind words, Doc. You're not so damned bad yourself.
JB was prowling around like a caged puma, head back, scenting the air. Dean watched him, putting his own face to the wind, sniffing to try to see what was bothering JB. But all Dean could smell was the familiar flavor of the sun on the pine trees, a rich, resinous scent.
Don't like it.
What?
Just got that itching feeling clear up my spine. I don't know what it is. Someone's watching us.
Are you certain?
No. Never sure until the bullet hits you and you're down in the long grass, flat on your back, staring up at a china blue sky. That's when you get to be certain about it. Could be Stickies close. Just have to be triple red careful.
Thought we already were.
You think it might be your friends coming?
Could be, Helga. Normally in this kind of situation, they'd be on triple red. But they reckon they're after ordinary Stickies. They might not worry so much.
That storm would hold them up on tracking us.
Yeah, maybe wash the trail out altogether.
So how will they find us? How will anyone find us?
Ryan strained to look over the far side of the ravine, where the ambush was already laid.
It's not going to make much difference anyway. Those fire-blasted Stickies are ready and waiting for them, whoever they are.
They heard them before they saw them. Charlie was leaning against a tumbled wall, his suckered tongue darting out to moisten his fleshless lips. His almond-shaped brown eyes were alight with private enjoyment. He kept turning toward Ryan, who did everything he could to avoid meeting the malevolent grin. Christy had uncommonly keen hearing, and she was first to hear the sound.
Listen, listen.
Yeah, Firetop, I can hear it too. But what the blood smoke is it?
Yeah, I got it. But I don't...
Ryan shut his mouth abruptly, afraid that he might inadvertently let slip his own relief that the strangers weren't JB and the rescue party. Ryan looked at Christy, who shrugged her shoulders and shook her head.
No idea, lover. Except I know for sure it's not the local baron and his sekmen riding in to rescue us.
You can stake your fiery scalp on that one.
Lestiki was so delighted with the imminent success of his plan that he was actually hugging himself with his long, thin arms. Ryan thought of Mex women turning dough on a large, flat, sun-warmed stone. Christy remembered Harmonyville and the sound of a large, fresh salmon being thrown onto a kitchen table by her uncle Tyus McCann, having come back flushed with success from a day's fishing. It was the very Reverend Jobob Jarman who recognized it first.
Goddamn Flagies.
And then it all made sense. Flagies was the common name for the small group of religious extremists who traveled through Deathlands. Their particular milieu was in the area of the desert southwest, concentrating their activities in the wilder regions of what were once the states of Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Colorado, Nevada, West Texas, and Southern California. The name was a diminutive of the word flagellant. Old pre-dark dictionaries said that was someone who was preoccupied with the act of whipping, either as part of an extreme religious experience or as a way of heightening sexual and erotic pleasure. The Flagies would go about punishing one another and themselves with a variety of whips, often tipped with glass or metal. The more the blood flowed, the more the Flagies felt they were worshipping their particular god. In the past few years, these grossly aberrant practices had virtually died out, often as a direct or indirect result of overenthusiasm on the part of the Flagies. Ryan, oddly, had never actually seen a living Flagie. Once during a trip with a trader, they'd encountered a group of bounty hunters who'd seen a trio of the religious extremists a week earlier up on the Brazos and had come across their butchered corpses a few days later. The trader had spoken about them. He had been revolted by their self-mutilating excesses and had said that he'd be happy to put a full metal jacket round through the skull of any he saw.
We'll just speed them on their way to meet their maker.
And now, here they were, appearing on the brink of the cliff across the valley, like a quintet of ragged scarecrows. The sunshine danced off the gold medallion around Charlie's neck as he turned disbelievingly to his prisoners.
What the fuck are they?
They're god crazies, bringing the word of the Almighty to the heathen.
Amen.
To Ryan, it sounded as though they were singing about making someone's day tonight. But that didn't seem to carry a lot of sense. Words like God and salvation seemed to occur quite often. Now they could actually all see the whips, short lashes, tipped with something that glinted as they were raised and then brought down, which explained the odd slapping sounds that they'd been hearing. The sticky guards that Charlie had been at such pains to conceal among the trees and brush along the valley above the shrunken river were a total waste of time. The Flagies had obviously seen the campfires from a distance and must have quickly suspected that they were coming into a sticky community with all of the danger and risk that such a place always represented. But they never checked their yelling, moaning, and whipping. The sentries appeared behind and around them, forming into a threatening escort. But the five tatterdemalion figures ignored them. While Ryan and the others watched in silence, the bizarre tableau moved down the path, over the bridge, and approached Charlie. Four men and a woman. Probably a woman, Ryan thought, though the stubbly white hair along the line of her jaw gave him pause for doubt. All were long-haired, filthy, matted hair clotted with grease, sweat, and blood. They were clothed in shreds of rags that dangled around their ankles. Every one of them was barefoot. Each carried a short-thonged whip. The stock was hand-carved and covered in stained and torn leather, studded with brass pins. Each whip had several plaited lashes, and as they drew closer, everyone could see what had been glinting in the sun. Tiny splinters of broken glass and twisted wire, with splinters of razored steel at their ends.
Sick bastards, look at the blood on them!
The quintet stopped when they were a few steps away from Charlie, ignoring the crowd of stickies that was gathering around them. Their leader was nearly as tall as Charlie, but his mane of wild hair made him somehow more impressive. His eyes were dark pits in the sunken caverns of discolored ivory. He had torn furrows down his cheeks with his own nails, and they brimmed with crusted pus and dried blood.
We bring salvation!
We already have it!
This is the salvation of the Blessed Ones through suffering and pain.
Yeah, we got that too.
Now it seemed to penetrate to the Flagey that he was in a situation that might be way beyond his control. His bugged eyes blinked,